Hey, peeps, please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. All right, so now that that's out of the way, let's get into this. What is going on, friends and family? Today, we have the one and only Dan Schultz of the Precinct Project with us. It is vital, fam, that you actually listen to this chat, okay? Not just hear it, but actually listen to it, okay? Because there are things that we can do out there to get involved and to really help our country in a positive way. Things that we can do to take action. There are things that we can do at a local level. Things like becoming a committeeman that can vastly affect positive things in our local communities that go all the way up to choosing the president of the United States that actually require very little effort from us, but has maximum impact. These are things that we can do peacefully, and they don't take, again, a lot of time or anything like that. And it's just one more tool through things like Operation Sunlight that we're bringing to you. You know, it's great to complain and voice our concerns and things like that on social media, but we have to be real. That doesn't really... it doesn't really have a big, you know, effect. All right. You know, it's more like an echo chamber. Things like this do have an effect with very little action. So, you know, it's this one here is about becoming a committeeman and in our local precincts. It's super, super important. Okay. So let's go ahead and meet Dan. And we're going to let you know exactly how to get started today. And this is not one you're going to miss. You're going to want to miss, all right? This is something you need to share with all your friends, your family, and have your friends and family share it with their friends and family. And let's make this thing go viral, because this is a perfect way that we can all get involved with very little effort, huge gains, and we can all do it. It doesn't take a lot of time. So let's go meet Dan. What is going on, friends and fam? So it is great to have Dan on with us. It is a true honor to have you with us, the founder of the Precinct Project. And you're also an incredible attorney that always seems to be fighting for the little guy. You know, I'm super proud of you and the people out there that are giving others that want to get involved something that they can actually do that truly matters, that truly has a positive effect. So, you know, thank you a bunch, Dan. Really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, Robert.
Anytime. And, you know, it sure seems that, you know, our schools and political parties, they're just not teaching us or our kids about civics or the Constitution any longer. How did you, kind of learn about, you know, committeemen and kind of what is a committeeman? What are their duties? Maybe if you can just kind of define it in a nutshell. And is it just anybody that's like on a committee, or is it like a special position? If you could just kind of give us a breakdown of what a committeeman is and what they do and all that kind of good stuff.
Will do. I learned everything really from my dad and from my uncles by watching them, because they were involved in the county board and city council and cities that they lived, town clerks, and rural counties, some of them live, or township director. And but then I learned it in school, in seventh grade, in social studies, in a block of instruction related to basic American civics. So our teacher didn't just teach us, you know, the line and block charts of the various government agencies and what they did. He also taught us how the Republican Party and the Democratic Party and the other parties in our country worked. And at that time in Wisconsin, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party were both fairly robust down at the, they didn't call precincts where I lived, they called them wards. So I learned what a ward captain was, and what a ward captain was a ward captain represented the members of their party in that small geographic area called a ward. And then what their job was in the party, it's a volunteer position, but you have to run for it. The registered Republicans or Democrats in the ward elect who they want to represent them in the structure of the party, the hierarchy of the party. And then those ward captains elect, just the registered Republicans don't elect, but the ward captain would cast votes for who became the county chairman. And then they also elected at the organizational meeting of the county state delegates to the state convention that would then elect the state chairman. And then every 4 years, they would elect delegates to the state convention, who in turn would elect the delegates to the national convention, and also the national committeeman and the national committee woman. So I learned all of that. And at the end of the course, he told us, look, you guys are seventh graders. You can't do this stuff yet. But when you turn 18 and thereafter, if your country ever, our country ever gets into a political crisis, you'll now know what to do to affect change politically through the political process, through a political party. And I never forgot that. And then I was involved over the years after I got out of the military when I lived in California. I worked on some campaigns as a volunteer, but I never got involved in the party over there. It was, you know, we had Governor Wilson, Governor Duke Pages. Now, the Republican Party was pretty robust then. And I thought, yeah, I don't really need to do that. Everything's okay in California. Then I moved over here to Arizona, and by 2007, the illegal immigration thing was out of control. And I went to a meeting for a border militia group that was trying to start up. I thought, maybe I'll go down to the border with these guys, just see what's going on so I can see it myself. And a guy stood up and he said, hey, listen, there's another thing that we can all do, and that is we can get involved in party politics. Committeeman here in Arizona, there's plenty of vacancies. Well, that shocked me because I thought, hey, this is Goldwater country. Must be a strong Republican Party. So I went to my first meeting. How did I find it? I called and called and called state party, then the county party, and found out where I needed to go. Legislative district committee was where I needed to go first. And I live in Tempe, Arizona. LD, the old LD-17 was part of Tempe, part of Scottsdale. I go to the meeting. There's 20 people. When they asked the new people to introduce themselves, I said, I did. I introduced myself. I said, I'm really conservative and a little bit about myself. And then I said, where is everybody? And they said, well, what do you mean? I go, there's only 20 people here. And, well, this is about what we get every month. I said, well, how many slots do you have total? Well, we have 160 slots. No. Well, how many are filled? Well, about 40. But we were operating at one quarter strength going into the 2008 election cycle. And then, you know, we got beat and we elected the socialist, Barack Obama. So I immediately thereafter started recruiting like crazy and knowing that, oh my goodness, what we've got to do if we want to beat the Democrats is we've got to fill up all these precinct committees. So I started blogging about it at redstate.com as Cold Warrior. I was a broken record. That's all I talked about to those people there. We want to do something. We got to take back the Republican Party from the people running it and turn it into a full strength conservative party. And it's easy to do by volunteering. The current party is at half strength. It's ideologically split. Here in Arizona, after the 2020 primary, we only filled up 36.5% of our slots. We're at less than 50% strength. But by volunteering and getting MAGA people, America Firsters, to volunteer and fill these slots up through the appointment process now until the next 2022 primary, when you can get elected via full-fledged precinct committee. By filling up all these vacant slots, that's the best way to send a signal both to the state legislators and to the Democrats that we finally have figured out politics. And that happened in Georgia this past weekend. All the small counties were having their county organizational meeting. Turnout was through the roof. It was double and triple what it was 2 years ago in some of the counties, I've been told by people who were there. And a whole bunch of America Firsters got elected to the chairman position. Now they're going to have a state meeting, and they're going to send more America Firsters to the state meeting. Same thing happened over in South Carolina. Like I said, there's a war going on right now in most of the parties, including, as I understand it, in Nevada. And I knew some of the folks in Nevada years ago in Clark County, where conservatives way back in 2000, I think it was 2008 election cycle, maybe 2010, succeeded in taking over the Clark County Republican Party Committee, the Central Committee of the county, and had great success for a while. But as I understand it, some of that has dissipated. We've got to do it again. We've got to get control of one of the two major parties. Our party, the Republican Party, is there for the taking. I like to say that conservatives seem to have suffer from a syndrome called PPPDS, political party participation deficit syndrome. We complain about politics, we blog all day, take 3 hours of that a month, that time that you spend complaining and blogging and whatever else you do about politics, and directing it to going to a monthly meeting, participate as a precinct committee member, learn how to get out the vote, learn how the party works, learn how you vote for the party committee chair all the way up to the RNC. We've got to transform this party from a half-strength party to a full-strength party that's solidly conservative. So that's the strategy in a nutshell.
No, I love it. I love it. And it's actually very easy to do. One of the things that when I reached out to you via email, I sent you the link there in Nevada. And I'm like, you know, which one do I do? Because I hadn't heard of this before either, like probably 99% of the audience. And you sent me the link. I went, I called, I did an email. The next thing you know, I'm nominated. And in the next meeting, I'm actually going to be elected. So I'll actually be a committeeman. We actually have my wife and my son in the same county, the same precinct, doing the same thing, and a whole bunch of other family, because it's really easy to do. And it doesn't require a lot of time. That's another thing that's huge, because a lot of people, you know, they've got a busy life. They've got a job. They've got, you know, family. They got to cook dinner. They got to do all that kind of stuff. But we're talking about, they don't even have to go to every meeting. They could go to every other meeting, take like an hour or 2 hours a month. And it looks like about 3 hours every election cycle. So like 3 hours on a primary, 3 hours on a general. And that's it. And you could actually affect real change. Now, with becoming a committeeman, what kind of, you know, power does that give, you know, the average citizen within the party? Because we've seen that we have kind of like selected officials now that, you know, kind of say what we want to hear, but then they go off and do the other thing. So if we commit to becoming committeemen, what kind of power does that give us within the party? Who can we vote for? Do we vote for, you know, like the mayor? Do we vote for the secretary of state or delegates? Or how exactly does that work for the fam that's, you know, listening right now and trying to figure out what that entails them to do?
Yeah, I explain it all at precinctstrategy.com. I've got several tutorial videos that explains it all, but it's a tremendous amount of power, political power. Phyllis Schlafly from the Eagle Forum had a pamphlet there. It's still there. It's called Precinct Committeeman, the most powerful political office in the world. And here's why. Precinct committeemen and only precinct committeemen elect the county chairs. Not every state has county committees. Some of the East, like Massachusetts and Connecticut, only has borough and city committees and then a state committee. But the precinct committeemen, the volunteer precinct committeemen, elect everybody. Now, you have to, as a precinct committeeman, you've got to get elected too. There's a process. In some states, it's through a caucus. In other states, it's via the primary election. Okay. Then once you get elected, then you elect at an organizational meeting of, let's say, your local district committee organization, like I have here in Arizona. I'm a member of three committees. I'm a member of the legislative district committee. That's the local committee. We're represented in the state legislature by a senator and two representatives. There's 444 slots for that committee, but we only had 161 filled. Well, we've filled another 50 already in the last 3 months with MAGA people. We have an organizational meeting we go to. At that organizational meeting, we elect the chair and the other officers. But then we do one more thing that's really important. We elect for every three of us, we get one state committeeman. The state committeemen go to a state organizational meeting in January, which we had in this past January, and we directly elect state chairman and the other officers. That's real political power. That state chairman serves on the national committee. If you want to increase the likelihood that a conservative is your state chair, you got to increase the participation rate of conservatives in the vacant precinct committee slots. Okay. So that's That's one avenue, tremendous amount of power. Next, the county, they have an organizational meeting. All the precinct committee men in Maricopa County get to go to that meeting and vote for the county chair. And the good thing is this, here in Arizona, you can do all of this through a proxy. If you can find someone that you trust to carry your proxy, you have to get it signed by two witnesses. That's all you got to do. Find two other Republicans to sign it for you. Hand it to somebody who wants to go to the meeting. A lot of people don't like to go to the meetings because they're boring. You know, it's like 20, 30 minutes of real action crammed into 8 hours. You know? Who wants to waste a Saturday doing it? So a lot of people take advantage of the proxy. And so you go to the county meeting, you elect the county chair. That's a real powerful position. Then every 4 years, the precinct committeemen and only the precinct committeemen gather at a special caucus. Any Republican can show up. This is a presidential election year. Any Republican can show up and say, I want to run for state convention delegate because I want to become a national convention delegate. First step is to become a state convention delegate. Okay. Who elects the convention delegates? Only the precinct committee. So anybody can show up, but I use that to recruit precinct committeemen in the presidential election year. I tell them, you volunteer now to fill a vacant slot. You can go to that caucus meeting. You can vote for yourself to go to the state convention and then maybe go on to the national convention if you want to. At the state convention, in addition to electing the national convention delegates, they also elect the national committeeman and the national committee woman to a four-year term on the RNC. So again, want to change the makeup of the RNC, there's only one way to do it, personally. There's only one way. You've got to become an elector. You've got to become a precinct committee. You have to become an elector of the people who elect state chair and the national committeeman and the national committeewoman. That's how we change the party at the RNC level. That's the only way to change it. Those RNC members are not appointed by anybody. They're elected by electors that the precinct committeeman elected. The more conservatives we have, the more likely we'll have a conservative RNC, which we don't have right now.
Yeah, so there's a lot of power there and a lot of responsibility, it sounds like. And it sounds like you can actually kind of skirt the responsibility if you want by giving it to a proxy for the people that are really crunched on time. But it sounds like you'll really have a lot of power to affect change, to actually vote in people that aren't the Rhino establishment, the same people saying the same things but doing nothing except working against us. You'll actually be able to vote in the people that are on the ballots, right? So you'll actually be able to be responsible for who's placed on the ballots from a local level up to the RNC level and possibly all the way up to the president, right?
Yes. And there's another thing that the precinct committeemen can do at these count at the local legislative district level or whatever it's called in a particular state, at the county level, and even statewide. The committeemen and state committeemen, they can at a meeting, make a resolution saying, we're going to endorse this Republican over that Republican. And some bylaws don't allow that, but like our Maricopa County bylaws does allow it, but it's 60% majority. It's a supermajority vote. Well, we did that one time. Back in 2010, I think it was, Bill Montgomery, he's like me, a West Pointer. He was our county attorney, but he didn't have any name recognition because he got appointed to the position because the existing county attorney is going to run for governor. And you can only run for one position in Arizona. So he had to resign from the county to run for governor. So Bill became the appointed by the Board of Supervisors incumbent. But nobody knew who he was. We endorsed him at the county level, the county executive committee. I was a member of it at the time. There's 30 members, the 20 legislative district chairs and 10 officers. I was one of the officers. we got the 60% majority. The other two candidates, one was a sanctuary city mayor. He dropped out the next day after we endorsed Bill. The other guy was a classic rhino who had good name recognition. His name was Rick Romley, but he had endorsed Janet Napolitano, the Democrat, for governor. He had given money to Democrats. According to the records, my recollection is he had done that as well. He wasn't thought to be very conservative. Bill was able to go everywhere, all the women's clubs, the Republican clubs, the civic organizations, say the county committee endorsed me over Rick Romley and the other guy who dropped out after they endorsed me. So I've been endorsed by the party hierarchy. And I think that caused him to win the primary. He went on to win the general. Then he served. And now he got appointed to the Arizona Supreme Court. He's a Supreme Court justice here in Arizona. I believe all of that stemmed from that endorsement we gave him. Again, that's real political power. And it only took me 3 hours a month to participate at that county meeting month after month after month. It doesn't take a lot of time.
No, you're right. And that's huge, especially for what it can do for your community, for your precinct. And it also kind of tells us why we haven't heard about this, you know, from, you know, sitting so-called, you know, Republicans, we'll just call them rhinos, whatever. That's why we haven't heard about that from them, or maybe even the central committees, is because it sounds like they have a lot to worry about. If you get a bunch of committeemen in there that are conservatives, constitutionalists, they could really upset things and put conservatives or constitutionalists in power over even sitting rhinos. So it sounds like this is very, very powerful. But how do you know who to vote for, who to, you know, I guess support? I mean, it sounds like you did some due diligence, but for the average person, you know, they hear these people at a local level talk and they're saying all the right things. It's like they've been listening, you know, to Trump speeches and just kind of regurgitate it. How do you know that you're not just putting the same rhino type back in power, or, you know, voting for those types of people?
Well, in the intra-party positions, a lot of times what the conservatives will do is they'll identify themselves as deplorables or constitutional conservatives or party platform Republicans. Look, and basically, and then form a slate and then vouch for one another. And then, so that's how you do it internally in the party. But as for those running for public office, the nice thing about a precinct committeeman and going to the meetings is this: guess who comes to the meeting? The candidates. And then you get to walk right up to them and start asking them hard questions, really hard questions that the media, you know, won't ask them. But you can ask them in front of everybody and make them sweat a little bit and really drill down. Like, so how pro-life are you? And ask them hypothetical questions. The Second Amendment, you say you're for the Second Amendment. I have a free oath of office I give to candidates that basically says, I'm signing before I take the oath that I'm taking a pre-oath to support the Second Amendment in writing. And I give them that form and say, will you sign this? I've got a lot of candidates to sign it. I tell them, if you won't sign it, then I know I can't trust you on the Second Amendment. You get to do that face to face. And that helps immensely in evaluating the candidate.
No, that's huge. I mean, I see on social media all the time, you know, we got lots of friends and fam out there that are always posting things about the candidates or posting things about people in office, but it's kind of like an echo chamber, right? You know, it's just kind of that social media stuff that doesn't really affect anything other than just make other people on the platform feel, you know, warm and, you know, I guess warm and fuzzy inside, but it doesn't really affect anything. But it sounds like this way, you can actually go and meet these candidates or the politicians and ask them the tough questions and see exactly who they are, you know, with, you know, face to face, so to speak, and see exactly what they're, you know, what they're about. And then if you don't like them, you could vote for somebody else and really have that power on the ballot. So this is something far greater, I think, than just complaining about people on social media.
Right. And then again, the other another power that you have as a precinct committeeman is you get access to the get out the vote software that the party provides the precinct committeeman for your precinct. And so what I do is I have 11 slots in my precinct. All 11 are filled. And what I do is I divide the work up. There's one precinct committeeman roughly for every 125 voters in the precinct, Republican voters. Republican precinct committeeman to Republican voters. And then what we do is we target the software will tell you which of the voters in which houses don't vote very often, 50% of the time or less in the primary. So in the primary, we if we want to help a particular candidate, and every precinct committeeman is free to do whatever they want, we target the ones who don't normally vote, and then we show them with a flyer. We call them. It's about 35 to 40 households. To call 35 to 40 households and then drop off a flyer at their house in a suburban area takes about 3 hours. Okay. And that's what we do. We call them and then we promise to drop off an educational flyer on the candidates that we've created or we've got from the candidates that we support if it's a contested primary. And then we boost turnout. And in 2016, I did this for a candidate, a friend of mine. I did it for free in just half of the precincts. We only had about half of the precincts covered in my LD. And we took out the incumbent Rhino in a 53-47 landslide in the primary. It works. And it just took us 3 hours in the primary. Then we do it again in the general for 3 hours. And in my precinct, this go around, we got about 90% of the Republicans to vote in the general election.
That's huge.
The average was about 73% statewide. If we had done that in every precinct in the state, but how do you do it? You got to have the bodies. You got to have the warm bodies. And like I said, we only had 36% of our slots filled statewide. That was a big problem. So that's what I focus on. You know, I have a three-step strategy. Step one, pray. Step two, recruit. Step three, repeat. That's what I do.
Pray and recruit. I love it. I love it. And so the Get Out the Vote software you're talking about, is that called Our Vote? Is that what you're referring
no,
to?
No, that's what we ought to have. That's the best in class. The Democrats have the Democrat version, the original version of Our Vote. That's the best in class. The RNC, the current RNC, will never get us that software because it allows precinct committeemen to communicate with one another on a single platform. And then conservatives might use it to recruit conservatives.
Imagine that.
So, yeah, exactly. So, but what we use is there's two pieces of software. GOP Data Center, which is a dinosaur, is just a database that will print out PDF call and walking sheet. That's what I use. There's also Campaign Sidekick, which it's like GOP Data Center that you can use on a cell phone. Whoop-de-doo. It doesn't allow you to do anything, really. You can't communicate with it, and that's the problem. We don't have good software. So what I do is I build my own communication network of conservatives, and then all together we all try to recruit more conservatives.
Yeah, but for this to be super effective on a national level, something like Our Vote would be incredible. And it sounds like to me, if we fill up these 200,000 empty committeeman seats, we might actually be able to get that if we get enough people that rally around this and say, hey, you know what? We're tired of being disenfranchised. We're tired of having these rhinos run everything. We're tired of the selection process. Let's get some software that allows us all to communicate and let's organize. I mean, that's what you see with some of these crazy leftists and just even the Democrat Party. They're really good at organizing.
Yeah.
Whereas, like you said, with the Republicans, we're really good at venting online. We need to organize and actually get out the vote. So if we fill these seats, we might actually be able to get that kind of software.
Right.
I love it. Now, a lot of people I know that they're going to be freaking out about this. They're going to say, you know, this is great, Beatles. This is great, Dan. You know, we're going to get out there. We're going to become a committeeman. And it sounds like, you know, there's like 11 committeemen just in your precinct. So you're one of 11, which is great. But, you know, we've seen our votes don't count. We saw, you know, elections get stolen right out from underneath us. what power are we going to have to ensure that our votes do count and the people that we really want in office get in office, especially if they're elected constitutionally?
I tell people that I've got a graphic I want to show you if I can, if I can find it. I wasn't prepared to show you the graphics, but I think I have it here. Basically, the best way to send a signal to the incumbent Republicans in all the, this is it right here. It needs to look like this month after month after month, a line out the door of conservatives clamoring at these meetings. I want to become politically powerful. I want all of the incumbent Republicans who aren't doing election reform to get the message that we're coming after them in 2022 in the primary. They don't get election integrity laws passed, going back to paper ballots, getting rid of the Dominion machines. If they've got a contract with Dominion, break it. This is our election. This is our election process. The way, again, to send a signal is to go to the meeting, volunteer. If we have not just 200,000 new precinct committeemen, but hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands, maybe millions more wanting to become precinct committeemen, that will send a huge message to the incumbent Republicans. Not much we can do about the Democrats, but to the those states with, well, my state, Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, all five of them have state legislators that could have done their duty and called that a fraudulent election fraudulent and then chosen the rightful electors, the Trump electors. They didn't do it. And the reason they didn't do it is, well, in my state, well, only 36.5% of the Republican slots are filled. They're a paper tiger. They'll forget about this. You can't let them forget about it. We got to organize and unite politically where we live. Put real pressure. The only thing they care about is whether they win the next primary. Best way to make sure they don't win the next primary and we elect somebody better, fill up all the precinct committee slots as the first step.
I love it. And then as far as, like, could you be also have some kind of access to be like a poll watcher? So say you're part of the central committee. Can you actually watch these votes come in? And then can you also petition to get rid of all these stupid electronic voting machines and go back to paper ballots for these upcoming, you know, elections and things like that? Would they have the power to do that as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Process varies from state to state, but yeah. But again, it takes organization because you got to get enough signatures. Well, who best to help get signatures? Precinct committee. So if you wanted to go that route, that too is a possibility. And yes, volunteering to be a poll watcher, a poll worker. I've been an official poll watcher for the Republican Party since I became a precinct committeeman. Every election cycle, including this last one, I was down in Tucson. Why was I down in Tucson? They only had 22% of their precinct committee slots filled in the Republican Party. So when I went to the, I had about 8 or 9 polling places I had to go through to throughout the day and see who, make sure that the volunteers were there. But we only had one volunteer or two for the day. The Democrats, and then in some cases only in the morning, only in the afternoon, we had one person. They had three or four at every single one of them. And they had bussed all these kids in from California. You know, the Democrats, politics is their religion. Conservatives, not so much. Well, we've got to get over that distaste for politics and get involved. It just takes 3 hours a month to be effective. It's all explained at precinctstrategy.com. And you're walking the walk now. You can talk the talk now. And that's what we need. We need more people walking the walk so they can talk the talk and recruit people. We all need to become recruiting machines now, fill up all of the vacancies that we have. And that's what I've been trying to do.
Yeah, well, definitely going to be promoting the crap out of this because it is super important. It's time for people to stop complaining about things and actually start doing things. And this is a very simple way to affect change. You said that you went through and you actually visited 8 or 9 of these polling places and you saw the Democrats are busting them in. I mean, those good old Zuck bucks, right? You know, like in Maricopa County, millions and millions and millions of dollars. I guess they don't even know where it went. Went from Zuckerberg to, you know, possibly the governor, secretary of state, whoever. They're still trying to figure out what happened with the money. Did you see any kind of shenanigans happening there? Were you able to, because I know you're only one guy just going to 8 or 9 different places, but did you see anything happening there? And what's your thoughts on what's happening this week in Maricopa County? We're actually getting an audit by those 4 companies. It looks promising. What do you think they're going to find? And did you see anything?
I did see things. We recorded them. Liz Harris, who ran for legislature next door to me in LD-17, she thought her election was stolen, she recruited all sorts of people to volunteer to go knock on doors and find out whether or not so-and-so actually lived there, you know, from the voter rolls. And she compiled a whole bunch of information. What's going to happen with this audit here in Maricopa County? I haven't been paying much attention to it because I've been too busy with other things. I hope they do it right, the way it should have been done right. And I don't know if this is going to happen or not. It would be really easy to find out whether or not it was a stolen election. Well, first off, we know it was an illegal election because the Secretary of State did things that she had no power to do. Same with the county. We also know that the guy in charge, I watched the video again last night. The guy in charge of Election Day operations in Maricopa County stated under oath twice he could not guarantee that what those Dominion staffers and contractors were doing was on the up and up. Because they were the subject matter experts. I don't know. In other words, how can you certify that election then? He's the guy who's supposed to do it. He says, I can't. I don't know what they did. Okay, that alone says it's a fraudulent election. But the third way is take all the paper ballots, give them to Joe Van Pulitzer, let him run them through his machines, re-image them, and then you can very easily see which ballots are fraudulent because they never got mailed, for example. There's no folding that was done. A mail-in ballot had to have been mailed. Here we had a whole bunch of ballots run through machines and never been folded.
Yeah.
Easy to see on his imaging machine, right? So I don't know what's going to happen. I look, I'm really cynical about this. I predict it'll be covered up. I predict what will happen is this. There'll be a chain of custody problem. And then one side will say, see, we proved it was a fraudulent election. And the other side will say, oh, no. Because of the chain of custody problem, you can't really verify that these are real ballots or blah, blah, blah. I'm very cynical about it. I hate to say it.
Yeah. And, you know, we know how Democrats operate. And so you're right to be worried and skeptical about it. But the thing is, the chain of custody was broken by the Board of Supervisors. They're the ones that actually broke it. So they're the ones that are actually at fault if that does come up.
Yes.
So there is that. But, you know, just seeing how everybody's operating and seeing how the people that just don't want this investigated, it just kind of tells you that they're either, you know, complicit in it or something fishy is going on, right? So these are the types of people, being a committeeman, you could help remove, right? You could start, you know, working to get rid of these corrupt, you know, fraudulent people. I mean, if you're certifying an election, you can't certify it. Well, to me, that kind of seems like fraud. You know, you would just think, right? I mean, if you're basically signing on the line, certifying something that you can't certify, and they're going to take that to DC and they're going to say, you know, Biden won the state. That seems like fraud to me. Do you think, kind of related, but not, just a couple quick questions before we get you out of here. Do you think that the federal government has kind of overstepped its power? Do you think that the states ultimately have the power? Because you've done a lot on the Constitution side of things and with law. Do you think that the states actually have the power? The states are the ones that created the central government, the federal government. Do you think that the federal government's kind of overstepped their power and it's kind of incumbent upon the states to reel it back, to take it back, because it was never relinquished to the Fed. If that makes sense.
Yeah. With respect to the elections, it's clear, you know, I recommend everybody get one of these Citizens Rulebook, published over here in Maricopa County in Phoenix, Witten Publishers. You can find it on the internet. Got the Constitution Declaration, well, it's quotes, very handbook in it. It's clear that the power, you know, the time, place, and manner of elections granted the running of that to the states. It's all the state. And to the state legislators with respect to determining who won in the presidential race, state legislators. And in the five key states, the Republican majority state legislators failed. And there's only one way to send a message to them. That is, first best step, send a message to them is don't hold a rally, don't send them an irate letter, unless the letter says this: I'm a precinct committeeman, and I'm recruiting every other conservative I know to become a precinct committeeman. And if you don't fix this election stuff, you're toast in the next primary. I'm going to make sure of that. Or I'm in the process of becoming a precinct committeeman, and I'm recruiting every other conservative I know, and we're going to take you out of the next primary if you don't fix this election mess. That's what we have to do. If you go have a rally down at the Capitol, they look out the window and they laugh. You know, these people, they still haven't figured out the political process. They couldn't care less about your rally. In fact, they think this is good. They haven't figured it out yet. Politics gets played at these mundane meetings once a month by precinct committeemen learning how the real ballgame of politics works. That's what you've got to do. Get involved, become a precinct committee.
Yep, you're absolutely right. That's one of the things I'm always, you know, trying to drive home to people is having these rallies and these protests make you feel warm and fuzzy, but they don't accomplish anything. That's right, why we created like Operation Sunlight, to where you figure out where the problem is. And if you want to protest or if you want to do a rally, you take it to the person that created the problem or can fix the problem, versus just going to DC and holding a Trump flag or, you know, saying, give us back our rights. It doesn't really accomplish anything. Like with this, this accomplished things because it gives you a vote that allows you to essentially choose who's on the ballot and also help remove people that, you know, are doing bad things for our republic. So, and then one last question, you know, as a former military officer, I mean, as a former Army reserveman, what's kind of your take on the military? I mean, it seems like every time I turn around, they're trying to dilute the military. They're trying to push all this craziness, you know, down the military's throats. They're trying to remove conservatives from the military. It seems like they're just attacking us at every single level. What's kind of your thoughts on that? And have you been keeping up with like what they're doing to our servicemen now, trying to remove conservatives?
I've been reading about it. I haven't been keeping up with it completely, but I know that there are some serious problems. And the problem is a lot of the generals are political appointee generals. I never been in combat. Even some of the ones who have been in combat, they're not America firsters. They're globalists, and we've got too many generals, way too many. You know, I'm a West Pointer. We've had a cheating scandal at West Point. Did they kick everybody out who cheated according to the honor code? No. Why not? I don't know, but they didn't. That's not good, in my opinion. Yeah. It's not going to get fixed. None of this is going to get fixed unless we, the people, fix it. Okay. First three words in the Constitution, the preamble, we, the people. The preamble explains very succinctly that we're the guardians. We are the people that have to enforce it. It's our Constitution. We have to elect better people to enforce and follow the Constitution. We haven't been doing it. Think of it. Every 2 years, we have the power, we the people have the power to replace all of the members of the House, the people who hold the purse strings. All of them, every 2 years. We don't even come close. the re-election rate for incumbents was something like 98%. Till that changes, nothing's going to change. And the first step in changing it is taking over one of the two major parties. And we're not doing that. But I know how to do it. I explained it in my book and at precinctstrategy.com.
Nope, you're right. We have to get involved. We have to get off the couch, get off the computer screen and actually get out there and vote with our feet and vote with, you know, taking these committeemen, you know, positions and recruiting as many people as possible. And it's something that can actually happen fairly easy. Like I already was nominated. I literally made a phone call and an email. The secretary of the central committee nominated me herself and I get voted in on Thursday. That's
simple. Yeah. I moved over here. I went to a meeting. They appointed me to a vacancy. I ran unopposed, only 3 out of, at that time, my precinct was smaller. There were 8 slots. Only 3 were filled. I won by default. I became the 4th. And over time, I filled up all the other slots. Okay. Within 3 years, I was one of those 30 members of Maricopa County's, it's called the Executive Guidance Committee. I was a voting member and I voted, like I said, on that resolution with respect to Bill Montgomery. Why? How? Because I volunteered. That's all it took.
Getting involved. So,
yeah.
Dan, where can people go to learn more? I see we've got precinctstrategy.com right there as your ticker.
Yeah, and what you'll find there is a little bit of information for all 50 states. Eventually, I'm going to get something for the territories and D.C., but I've just got the 56. I might have something there for D.C. I don't remember. But you got to go there, find your state, learn the lingo, read what's there about your state so that you kind of understand how it works. Because the terminology differs greatly. In Ohio, it's called precinct executive. Here we call them precinct committeemen. In some states, it's precinct delegate. It varies. Precinct committee officer up in Oregon and Washington state varies. Learn the lingo. Go to the meeting, be low key, tell them, I want to register more Republicans. I want to elect my Republican. That's all I want to do. I want to volunteer and I'm going to become a voting member of my committee. Please tell me how to do that. I'm volunteering. They can't in good faith turn you away.
I love it. I can't thank you enough for what you're doing for the country and waking people up and bringing this information, to the country, because it's been just swept under the rug. It seems like the politicians don't want us to know about it. The central committees don't want us to know about it. They don't want a bunch of constitutionalists or conservatives in there, trying to take back our republic peacefully using the system that they're trying to hide from us. So this is super important, man. I really, really appreciate you. And God bless you and your family and everything that you're doing for everybody. We'll make sure to get this out, ASAP and make sure that precinctstrategy.com is out there. And we're going to promote this through Operation Sunlight and try to send as many people your way as possible. And let's do this.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for reaching out to me. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. God bless.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Welcome back, friends and family. I sure hope you got a ton of value out of this and it kind of lit a fire under your butt to let everybody in your circle know that they can do something about what's going on in this crazy upside down world of ours. Things like becoming a committeeman. It doesn't take a lot of time. It's actually very simple. I became one, or I will become one, on Thursday just by a simple phone call and an email. I've got my wife and kid doing it, family, friends, employees, you name it. I'm sharing this with everybody. So make sure you check out Dan's website. Okay. It's going to be, right in this area here. Jason will put it up here for us. Make sure you check out the website. It is very, very simple. I'm telling you, it doesn't take a lot of time, but it has huge, huge freaking, impact. Okay. It can really make a difference and it doesn't take a lot of time. So don't delay. Check out his website. Get a hold of your central committee. All these different committeemen type positions may have different names, like Dan was explaining to us in the interview. So it may not be called a committeeman, all right? It may be called something else, but it's something you can do. It's something your family can do, your friends can do, employees, all of it. Everybody can do this, and we need to do this so we can start affecting change, positive change, getting conservatives, getting constitutionalists on the ballots, in office, removing rhinos, all that type of stuff, getting our vote back. This is one of the ways we can do it. It's huge. So don't delay. Do this today. All right. So God bless you. God bless your family. God bless the Republic. Let's get to this. All right.
Hey peeps, just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beetle shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beetles and his guests. Robert Beetles is a co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of Trading News Sessions, Crypto Beetles on YouTube, and on several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beetles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. God bless you. Love you. And I'll catch you on the next one.